Isn't that marvelous what music can do to prayer? What a wonderful, simple song that expresses everything that's in our hearts. Thank God for music. Let us pray. Oh God, open us to the stirring of your Spirit. Awaken us to your presence. Equip us for your service in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, let's try to get inside Jesus' world so we can begin to experience the contrasts within this parable that Jesus told. And let's start with the Pharisee. A very good, ethical, devout, and admired man. Devoted to living by the Torah, the gift of the law given to Moses to define and to give life to the people of Israel. You would want a Pharisee as your neighbor. Highly respected, devout, devoted to the law, deeply religious and faithful. You would have respected him, looked up to him. And in hearing this parable, Jesus' listeners would have understood that the Pharisee is the righteous man and the tax collector the bad one. After all, tax collectors worked for the occupying power, Rome, and were considered collaborators and exploiters of their own people, earning their living by collecting more than the tax due to Rome and retaining the surplus for themselves. Don't tell the Attorney General of the state of New York, okay? No surprise in the parable, then, that it's the tax collector who is standing far off at the back of the temple, almost out of the temple courtyards itself, in isolation, confessing guilt and remorse and unworthiness. But parables have surprises. And in this case, we learn that this Pharisee has let his obedience and his righteousness go to his head by looking down with contempt and scorn upon the tax collector and assuming a holier-than-thou attitude and a self-justifying understanding of himself. And the listeners would have been shocked. They would have considered the Pharisee to be the epitome of spirituality and faith and beyond reproach. Anything less than that from a Pharisee would have been noticed. But surprise, it is the no-account, scorned tax collector who goes away justified by God. Now remember also that parables ask more questions than they give answers. We think they are about the people in the story, but we discover that they are about our own lives and about our own faith. Through them, Jesus himself meets us, engages us, and transforms us. So in today's terms, here's a trigger warning. You know what that phrase means in contemporary language now, right? Trigger warnings. Professors are being asked to indicate warnings to their students that the ideas they encounter in class might upset them. What was your college education like? Okay. Trigger warning. Journeying with Jesus will change your life. This parable, like all parables, is not simply a story with a single moral, but like a finely cut jewel, it is multifaceted. Let's look at several of them. We often scorn a Pharisee as a hypocrite, a deeply religious person who has put the emphasis on the wrong priorities, for whom the rules define faithfulness. But when we do so, aren't we in danger of falling into the same trap that snared the Pharisee in this story? The trap of spiritual elitism? The trap, as James Baldwin says, of imagining ourselves as pure in heart and therefore spiritually unassailable? The trap of trusting in ourselves, in our own actions, the trap of even taking pride in our own humility and winding up praying our own self-righteous prayer, "I thank you that I am not like that hypocritical Pharisee," and therefore believing that we are more deserving of God's favor? The power of this parable is that the one considered an outsider who honestly confesses that he is a sinner and undeserving of even approaching God, who stands afar off, it's that sinner who goes away justified by the mercy and the love of God, and it is the righteous insider, the Pharisee, who goes away still righteous in his own mind, but unjustified. Commentator David Lowes warns that any time we fall prey to the temptation to divide humanity into any kind of groups, we align ourselves with the Pharisee. That at any time we draw a line between who's in and who's out, we will find God on the other side. This parable ultimately is not about self-righteousness and humility any more than it is about a pious Pharisee and a desperate tax collector. It is about God. It is God alone who can judge the human heart. God alone who determines to justify the ungodly. Who, after all, deserves a place in the kingdom? Carolyn Lewis points out that the story calls out what she calls the sin of one-upmanship. That's a great phrase, isn't it? Scary, great. The sin of one-upmanship. The sin of dismissal of another because they do not measure up to the expectations that we have set. The times when we too readily judge instead of leading with love and generosity. The times when we judge another with the assumption that our faith, our religiosity, our spirituality is somehow better. Whenever we do that, we turn away from God's grace and God's love. This parable holds up a mirror before us, a moral mirror, reflecting back to us how we treat others. It reflects becoming humble before God and recognizing the dignity of others, especially those with whom we disagree and are willing to treat with scorn. It calls us away from treating people as nothing, of living with spiritual blinders. It calls us to see ourselves as we really are, not in comparison with others, but with them as persons in need of the grace and the mercy of God. Persons who justify by the love and the mercy of God can be agents of God's love and mercy and grace to others. David Lose reminds us that each time we try to interpret this parable, we find ourselves yet again with nothing to claim but dependence on God's mercy. When this happens, we forget, if only for a moment, our own human constructed divisions, and we stand before God aware only of our need. Then we too are justified by the God of Jesus, and we are invited to return to our homes in mercy and grace and gratitude. Parables leave us with questions. This one is asked by Sarah Harcourt Watts in a blog. Is freeing ourselves from comparisons a way of coming humbly before God? Is standing afar off, focusing your gaze inward, the way for us to ultimately go home justified as the tax collector did? I keep wondering, she says, and I invite you to do the same. Amen.
Well, I guess I'm wondering if Jesus sort of sets us up to take sides with that story. It's like if Jesus were here today, he might say something like, a pope and a pimp went to church to pray, and we're pretty sure we know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy, right? But the fact is, we're all a mix. We're all dependent on God's compassion. And when we know that we're not zeros, our hearts fill with gratitude. And just think what we can do when we know we're not zero, and our hearts fill with gratitude. I invite you to offer yourself and your gifts.